chapter number 23. Psalms chapter number 23 this morning. So this is our last passage for a little while. I don't know however long the Lord wants us to talk about certain passages, but we've gone through Psalms 23 throughout different services over the last month. Some were Sunday morning, most of them were Sunday morning, some were on Sunday evenings, a few were on Wednesday night. And we had this last phrase here that we're going to look at is, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm excited about this passage of scripture. I've enjoyed it. I've learned a lot from it. So when you look at this and you consider where it began, is that we began talking about God's presence. Our theme for the year is delighting in the Lord. And we talked about not just saying, okay, I got to behave myself because I'm in God's presence. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. But instead, I delight in the fact I'm in the presence of God because he knows everything. He's in control of everything. He sees everything that happens. And I want to please him with my life. And then we began to think about not only delighting in his presence, we talked about delighting in his care and how God takes care of us. He takes very good care of us. And it brought us to this passage in Psalms chapter number 23, where it talks about the presence of the shepherd and talks about the care of the shepherd so wonderfully. We see David here has penned the Psalms. I believe David is an older gentleman, an older king at this point in time. And he is speaking about the testimony of how the shepherd has taken care of him. Now, David would know about shepherding. David was a shepherd as a young boy. David would know much about that because of the area he was from and because of where he grew up in and how he took care of the sheep and how he took very good care of the sheep. So we're going to go ahead and read through the passages of Scripture, but we're going to focus this morning on, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, David here is in this psalm. He's speaking from the sheep perspective, and it's as if he's talking to other sheep, and he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. He's being boastful. He's saying, I have the greatest shepherd, the best shepherd. He says, the Lord. He's talking about the God of the universe, the one, the creator of all. He is my, and he talks about something personal. He's my shepherd. He's saying he is a personal relationship. And then he talks about being contented. I shall not want. He was telling the world, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm not going to have to worry or about desire anything. Whatever the shepherd gives me, whatever the shepherd leads me, I am going to be satisfied and content. And then he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We talked about the different things that need to happen in order for a sheep to lay down in a green and lay down any type of pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters, and we showed the importance of water and the importance of the clean water and also the still water for sheep. He restoreth my soul, and I like that phrase. We spent some time on a Wednesday night talking about how it's the Lord that can restore our soul, and no one else that can, but the Lord can truly restore our soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, and wherever God's leading, it's always going to be the right path. And we talked about for his namesake. He does it. He has his name on us. He's not going to let us, and he's not going to take care of us because of the fact that we are his and we belong to him. Verse number 4, it talks about even the darkest and hardest times in life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and we all are in a sense walking through that. David says, I will fear no evil. He's not afraid. He doesn't have to be afraid. And here's the reason. Thou art with me. And then he says, thy rod, and we talked about how thy rod and thy staff, how they are pictures of the word of God and the Holy Spirit, they comfort me. And then he says, thou preparest a table for me. And he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, how God is able to take care of us no matter where it's at, even in the presence of his enemies, that we can still take time and God will nourish us. And we looked at that and we looked at the nation of Israel that on that Wednesday night, the comparison of believing that God will take care of us during hard times or whether or not we choose to question God during hard times. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. We looked at the different times when the shepherd anoints the sheep. And we talked about how our cup running over, talking about that God doesn't just give us a little bit. God gives us more than enough, and that he desires that we live a life that is in the overflow. Last Sunday morning, we talked about surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then this last phrase, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, we've been trying to keep it a little bit understanding, at least a short introduction on some of them about sheep and how this would apply to a sheep. And David, from the sheep perspective, is saying, this is where I'm staying. I don't need to go anywhere else. I don't need to look anywhere else. I'm staying right here forever. Now, in reference to what David is speaking here is, some people think it's he's talking about the tabernacle of God or the place where they worship. I believe he's looking a little further than that. The psalm speaks so much about the presence and care of the shepherd. He's speaking about how, in the end, he is going to definitely take care of us. And as we come to this last phrase, the sheep is saying, I do not need to worry about anything else because the shepherd will take care of me forever. And David is concluding the psalm with a precious reminder that our life does not last forever, that we will all leave this world someday, and that there is a reality that we will spend eternity somewhere. And for David, he's saying, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's saying that that is a reality to me, that this world I am leaving behind, and someday I will be spending the day and the rest of my life dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. I like to think about that a little bit, but before we go any farther, it talks about the grace of God, the beginning. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The second part talks about the glory of God and how his graciousness takes care of us while we're here, but how in glory he will once again, we can dwell in his glorious presence. And those are great things, the grace of God to take care of here, but also look forward to someday spending eternity with him in glory. So let's think for a few minutes about this phrase, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The first thing I want you to think about is that last word, or the last two words they put it. We would usually put forever together, but here it's separate. Forever. That's a long time. And the Bible is speaking about here is David says, I know something for a certainty. I know something for a fact. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that is forever. That means it's never going to end. And the Bible teaches us the truth. We will all spend eternity somewhere. And you say, Pastor, we all know that, but are you ready for eternity? You see, there's two different specific places, different places where that word forever is used. In the book of Jude, it only has one chapter, but at the end of verse number 13, it says, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? Now listen to that phrase again. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? David is saying with confidence, he says, I know the Lord is my shepherd. I know I have a relationship with him. I know he is mine and I am his. And he says, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But in Jude chapter verse number 13, he says, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? There's two different places where someone's going to stay. It's either dwelling in the house of the Lord forever or in the blackness of darkness forever. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles for a little while. We might come back to Psalms 23, but we're going to turn a little bit today. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles to Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20 and 21 shows you completely two different pictures. And these are two different pictures where souls will spend eternity at. And I want to encourage you this morning, thou dwelling in the house of the Lord forever, and making sure that you will be dwelling in the house of the Lord forever and not in the blackness of darkness forever. Revelation chapter number 20 and in verse number 10, it begins to give us a description of what that blackness of darkness forever is. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10, it says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Now, look at that next phrase. Revelation 20, verse number 10. And they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. There you go, that word again, forever. The blackness of darkness forever. So I want you to think that sometimes people will tell us that, at least I've had people tell me, I know I'm going to hell, but we're going to go down there and we're going to split it right open. We're going to have a party and we're going to have a great time. We're going to spend eternity just partying it up and living it up down there with their friends. But the Bible describes it as something completely different. He says they're tormented day and night forever. And even in the story of Lazarus and the rich man, he says he opened his eyes and he was in torment. Verse number 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So this, you give a description here of a place. David's saying, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My shepherd's going to take care of me. And I know that it's going to last and it's going to be for all eternity. He is going to stay. That word dwell gives the idea of being put and staying put. And he's going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But there is a blackness of darkness forever, where we see here that he's tormented day and night, where we see that there is a fire that will be forever. Now, let's keep on reading chapter 21. You see the description that John has been inspired to write. And he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Something completely different. It says in verse number 14, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There, you see there's a difference. John now says, I see a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. Once again, dwell. As David was saying, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now listen to the description that's there. And it says, and God shall wipe away all tears. There's another part in the book of Revelation where he says, talking about the lake of fire where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. But here in heaven, it says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. What God is saying is saying, this is true and this is faithful. That there is a lake of fire where people are being cast to, or will be cast to, that will torment them day and night. That is the blackness of darkness forever. But there is also a place that David speaks of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever, where there will be, as it said, no more tears. And it's a wonderful place. It says in verse number 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. And that is a future time in heaven after the judgments have happened, that there will be no more tears, and that there will be no more sorrow, and there will be no more death, and no more sickness. We're going to dwell somewhere forever. The question is, where are you going to dwell? This morning we talked to the Sunday school class about not selling your future short. I talked to the teenagers Friday night about not selling your future short. And David says, I know what my future is. And he says, I know that I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And you see here in the book of Revelation, chapter number 20, that there is a lake of fire. And chapter 21, there is a place called heaven. Look what it says in chapter 22. Look what it says in verse number 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle. Praise the Lord. I got candles all over my house. In heaven, there's not going to be any candles. Amen. No, I'm just joking. I even like the way they smell sometimes. And there shall be no night there, and there shall be no need for candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign, there it is, forever and ever. Man, there is an eternity that we will spend somewhere. Here in this world, sometimes people's lives last 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, even people sometimes over 100. I saw in the news headline that the lady is 116, has been the oldest person in all the world that they know of. 116 years old. Forever is a lot longer than that. And that's what David's saying. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I'm wondering, where are you going to dwell at? Where are you going to dwell at today? Someday, we are going to leave this world. And as David was saying, surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. And he's confident. He's speaking. He's boasting. He says, and God has a plan. My shepherd has a plan for me. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But then you read the blackness of darkness forever, tormented day and night, the gnashing of teeth. There's a difference there. where will you dwell at? So let's go ahead and take our Bible now to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, it talks a little bit about the preparation and the home that's in heaven that's being made for us. John chapter number 14. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at this morning? The first thing I want people to understand and realize is there is a place we will spend eternity. The psalmist is boasting that he gets to spend eternity in heaven. And that's something I think we're all excited about. If we're on our way there, then yes, of course I'm excited. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But then there's also a group that's not going to be there. It says that death and hell gave up the dead, and the sea gave up the dead, and whoever wasn't found written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire. There is two different places that people will say either they're going to dwell in the house of the Lord, either they're going to be in heaven, or they're going to be in that blackness of darkness forever. Amos 4:12 says, prepare to meet thy God. One of the most powerful sentences in all the Bible, prepare to meet thy God. That means that each and every one of us will stand before God someday in some form of judgment. He even says this, as is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. He says that, hey, look, you will be judged. In Revelation chapter number 20, it talked about being judged according to your works, because we are all sinners. We are all lost. We are all undone. We are all unable. If we're judged according to our works, we will end up in the blackness of darkness forever. No one is ever going to be able to earn their way to heaven. No one's going to ever be able to work their way to heaven. There are some people who think that you get sent to a purgatory and then you stay there for a while and then you get sent up to heaven. But it says the blackness of darkness forever. It says for all of eternity. But over here it says, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord after I get finished with purgatory. It doesn't say that. After I get finished with my trials and testing on the afterlife, it doesn't say that. The psalmist says, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And in John chapter number 14, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And Jesus is saying something to them that's an important truth that we should drive home. At many of the funerals I get the privilege of speaking, I love talking about this passage. Number one, it's not because it's the only passage I know, but because there's always different people that are there. And I know sometimes as a church family, you might come and you might listen to a funeral, but many times it's meant for the family that of the person that's deceased. And I talk about this passage because it's a help to them, but it also has some really important truths. Because this is true, that either you will be spending your eternity in hell or be spending an eternity in the blackness of darkness forever in the lake of fire where they're tormented day and night. And the question is, where will you spend? Because the Bible says we should make sure that we're prepared to meet God. The Bible says that it is appointed on a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. There is definitely a day of coming, of reckoning. Are you ready for that? Let's look what it says in John chapter 14. To give a little background here of the story, Jesus is getting ready to die, bleed and die for the sins of mankind. Because we learned that on our own works, there's no way we can get to heaven. But Jesus Christ came to this world to become our sacrifice. And if we put our faith and trust in him, we're not trusting in our own works because they're nothing but filthy rags, according to what the Bible says. But instead, we're trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross and he paid our sin debt for us. And if we place our faith and trust in him, the Bible says we will have the opportunity to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and his disciples are a little concerned. Jesus has just told them in the upper room that one of them was going to deny him, one of them was going to betray them, and that he was getting ready to be put in the hands of Gentiles, but he was getting ready to be crucified. So he says to them, he says, I'm getting ready to die. And that would be troubling for them because they thought he was going to be the next king, that he was going to be a physical king, that they were going to rule and reign with him. And he says, not only am I getting ready to die, he says, one of you is going to be the ones to betray me. And then later on, Peter begins talking. He says, Peter, you're going to deny me thrice. So on the same night, within a few hours, he says, I'm getting ready to be crucified. He says, I'm also, one of you are the ones that are going to betray me. And then also your leader, your outspoken human leader, is going to deny me. And all these things are going in their heart. They're overwhelmed. They don't know what's going on. And Jesus says to him in verse number one, he says, let not your heart be troubled. This morning, if we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord, we should not be worried or fearful. We should not fear. As it says in John chapter 14, verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. And he says, look, you don't have to be worried about this. When we sit here and we talk about the blackness of darkness forever, and when we talk about a lake of fire where you're tormented day and night, if you are a child of God, you do not have to worry about that. He says, let not your heart be troubled. He says, look, I don't want you, 11, to worry about this. He says, you don't need to worry about this, because he says, let not your heart be troubled. And then he says, ye believe in God. He says, you believe in God. And he says, believe also in me. See, there's many people who believe in a God. There's many people, even the Bible says that the devils believe in a God. The Bible says that the devils tremble. There's many people who don't even tremble at that. But he's saying, you believe in God, believe also in me. So we do not need to be afraid. We do not have to worry about dwelling in the blackness of darkness forever. And I read how one preacher put it this way. He says, we do not have to worry about being in God's house forever if we have entered into God's family. He says, the matter of dwelling in God's house forever is settled when we enter into God's family. And he uses this illustration. He says, my children are welcome into my home because it's their home. When they became a part of my family, my house became their house. It would not be their house if they were not a part of my family, but because they are part of my family, it is their house. I have two boys, and I understand, first of all, before I go to the illustration, I know the church owns my house. It's a parsonage, but I live there as part of the pastoring the church. They allow us to live there, so that way we have an opportunity to be able to focus and spend our time here. But that's our home right now. And so my boys live there. It's their home. They don't have to knock on the door to ask if they come in. One of them has a key that they can get in there. The other one knows the code for the garage door. They can get in and out and things like that. It's their home. It's part of their home. They dwell there. They live there. And it's the illustration is, if you're part of God's family, if you enter into the family of God, if you've put your faith and trust in him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, them that believe on his name. He says, they're a part of the family. That's part of the family. And the family is going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's because they're part of the family. If you're part of the family of God, you don't have to worry about dwelling in the blackness of darkness forever, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where there's torment, when you're tormented day and night. He says, you don't have anything to be afraid of. Sometimes when I've heard, and sometimes when preachers, when people hear things about hell, and when people hear things about the blackness of darkness forever, you know what happens? They start getting wearied. They start getting afraid. They start becoming fearful. But if you're a member of the family of God, if you're part of the family of God, you don't have to worry about that. There is a faith that's involved. It says, you believe in God, believe also in me. He says, it's more than just believing that there's a God in there. He says, believe in what I'm doing. He says, I've come to this world to seeking to save that which is lost. I've come to this world to die on the cross for the sins of mankind. And I'm going to be buried. I'm going to be risen again. He says, you don't have to be worried about what's going to happen in this world, because someday you will dwell in the house of the Lord together forever, not because of what you've done, but because what I'm here to do. And then he begins to describe a little bit about, not only should we not fear, but we should enjoy his presence. The series began talking about, don't just say, I got to behave because God's watching me. Instead, embrace the fact that God's there. Someday we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, where his presence that we looked at in Revelation 22:5, and there shall be no night, and there shall be no candle, neither light of sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The Lord will be there. He will be the light. And he's saying here that we should be able to enjoy his presence. In verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He's telling these disciples, look, I'm leaving, yes, now. And yes, your hearts might be troubled, but they don't have to be, because I'm going, and I'm going to prepare that place for you. And he even describes it as mansions. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So dwelling in the house of the Lord has just got better. It talks about mansions. But more importantly, he says that where I am, there you may be also. He's saying wherever he says, this is where I'm going to be, and this is where you're going to be. Is that where you're dwelling at? Is that, have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Has there been a time in your life where you've been convicted of your sins and you saw yourself as a sinner and in need of a Savior, and you realize that Jesus Christ, and you've died on the cross for your sins, and that he was buried and he rose again to give us eternal life, or an opportunity for eternal life? Do you enjoy his presence? That's what heaven's going to be like. The presence of God's going to be there. And he says, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. We should enjoy his presence. Last but not least, not only should we enjoy his presence, it's something that we should envision a future too. We should envision a future. Envision what your future is going to be like. Sometimes when I talk to somebody, it was not this past Saturday before that, I says, if I'm right, because this guy was arguing a lot with me. We were having a good conversation, but he had some really interesting beliefs. He says, if I'm right and the Bible's right and true, what's your future going to be like? He said, use that word if. I said, I use that word if because of you, because I know I believe the Bible's true and the Bible's right. What will your future be like? And he said, well, according to what the Bible said, I'll spend eternity in hell. That's a scary thing. That is something that we should envision. What will your future be like? I know we like to think about future, and we think about, okay, what's our future going to be like? I got two boys. Maybe someday they'll get married if anybody will take them, and maybe they'll have grandkids, and maybe they'll be great-grandkids, and maybe the Lord will allow me to pastor and continue on pastoring for a number of years. You envision your future. I'm not talking about here in this world. I'm saying when you leave this world, that's what the psalmist was saying. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He says, I know there's a plan for me, but what is your future? Have you given thought to eternity? And I know most people here today would say, Pastor, you know I'm saved. You know I'm on the way to heaven. Well, if that's the case, are you living for eternity? This evening, we're going to talk a little bit about living with eternity in mind. And I don't want to get past this fact that we should envision what the future is going to be like, because as we keep our focus on the shepherd, we keep our focus on the goal, and we keep our focus on the prize, it's going to change our lives. If we truly believe there is a blackness of darkness forever that's called the lake of fire, where people are tormented day and night, where there is sweeping and gnashing of teeth, wouldn't it change the way we talk to people about the Lord? Wouldn't it give us a more desire, a more umption, a more passion to want to reach the lost? I remember hearing that preacher one time, the evangelist, get up and preach a message about hell. And he says, if I could meet one person in the Bible, if I could spend 30 minutes with one person in the Bible, a Bible character, he said, I would choose the man who went to hell, and Lazarus and the rich man. I said, why? He says, because for those 30, I heard him telling this story. He says, could you imagine what he would say for those 30 minutes? What it was like. He says the stories are real, because in the story you see in Luke chapter number 16, he says that he lifted up his eyes, but what was his desire? He wanted the drop of water, but what was his desire also? Send somebody to my five brothers. They don't know. I don't want them to come to this place. I don't want them to torment with me day and night. I don't want that for them. And we should envision that. We should live with a constant reminder of I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I'm excited because I want more people. But also my heart should be burdened that there is people that are dying and do not know that there is a hell out there that is the weeping and gnashing of teeth, the blackness of darkness forever. And they will be tormented day and night. But you decide here in this world whether or not you're going to put your faith and trust in him. He says, let not your heart be troubled. He says, don't worry about those things. You don't have to worry about that. You believe in God. He says, believe also in me. Believe what I'm doing. And then there's a fear to escape. Well, the title of most of my funeral sermons, when I do that, there's a fear to escape, there's a future to envision, and there's a faith to embrace. Embrace that faith. I know most of you here today would say, Pastor, you know I'm saved and on my way to heaven. But I want to make sure everybody here today knows that they're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And you make that decision by deciding what you're going to do with Jesus Christ. And I want you to spend a few minutes just envisioning that future. But if you're a believer today, don't just envision how great heaven's going to be. The tears are going to be gone. The sickness is going to be gone. Envision what someone else's future is going to be like. And that's why the Lord pulled back that curtain and showed us that story of Lazarus and the rich man, is to teach us the truths of the agony and the pain that's going to be in hell. And that we, and he tells us, he says, well, he doesn't make a big deal. He sure does. He sends us all. He says that we should go and preach the gospel, that we are witnesses, and that the power shall come upon us and we shall be witnesses. He tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He makes a big deal out of it because he knows it's true. He knows it's real. And he's not willing that any should perish, that he died for all mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He desires for all men to come to repentance and know him as personal Savior. This morning, where will you dwell at? We don't need to fear. We should enjoy his presence. Look what it says in verse number 27, chapter 14 here. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He's speaking to those that believe and trust in him and they know him. And he says, look, I'm leaving peace with you. He says, I'm giving you a peace that will last forever. Not like the world peace, that the world's peace that they're going to give you. He says, your heart doesn't have to be troubled. Your heart does not have to be afraid if you know where you're going to dwell at. I don't think Judas was part of this group. Judas had already left. I think Judas today is in hell, even though he spent 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way I believe it, and from my studies of the Bible. He wouldn't have been saying this to all of them because there was one that chose not to believe. And inside of a group, inside a church like this, there's sometimes people that can come to church every single week and play the part and play a role and pretend to be a believer, but never truly given their heart over to the Lord, never truly put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So I want you to envision your future. I want you to envision your future as I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And people talk about heaven. Sometimes people say the silliest things. I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I know Jesus is going to be there. I know we're going to praise him. And I know the streets of gold and all those different things, the mansions he talks about. But I'm talking about how great that where I am, there you may be also, that I'm going to be the same place that Jesus is. But then I want you to envision the future of others that do not know and say, how come I don't tell other people? How come if there is a blackness of darkness forever, if there is a weeping and gnashing, if there is a lake of fire, which the same place that tells us about heaven tells us about hell, how come I don't tell more people about it? How come I don't live a life sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? This morning, there is only one way to heaven. Look what it says here in verse number four. He says, and whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. Jesus is speaking to disciples. They're a little confused right now. Great passage of scripture. He's teaching them. They don't really understand. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Thomas is saying, Lord, we want to be with you. We don't understand what you're saying. Where are you going? Can you tell us how to get there? And then you see that familiar verse in verse number six. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He says there is only one way to heaven. There are a lot of people who believe that, hey, I can get to heaven by this way or that way. Jesus here kind of puts all that to bed, silences all those things and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're hoping that you're going to get to heaven on good works, guess what? Those at the great white throne judgment will be judged according to their works. And when they're found that their name is not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, it says they will be cast into the lake of fire forever. Those that are the children of God, those who have become the believers, those who have come the way of Jesus Christ, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Those will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever is a long time. We spend a lot of time here and now. We spend a lot of time wanting the here and now, desiring the here and now, without keeping eternity in view. And I want to encourage you today, where are you going to dwell at? Is it going to be in the house of the Lord forever or in the blackness of darkness forever? You can know him. And the Bible says that you may know him and that you can know that you have eternal life. It's a present possession that you can have. And in just a few minutes, we're going to have an invitation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. It's the greatest thing that can ever happen to you. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But if you are saved, let the Holy Spirit do a work in your heart. Let the Holy Spirit for a few minutes help you envision the future of those that do not know him. And hopefully that will give you a passion and a burning desire, not to just send missionaries, but to be a missionary. Not to just give so that others may know, but also that you may give yourself in order to tell others too. Let's go ahead and have everybody's head bowed and eyes closed. Go ahead and stay seated for a second.